Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to Episode 208.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Today's episode is brought to you by OmniSend. If you're in e-commerce marketing and it feels like those weekly newsletters are no longer powering your growth, you're going to love OmniSend. With more than 3,000 five-star reviews, OmniSend is the go-to choice for nimble Shopify merchants who want to step up from regular email campaigns so you can actually start increasing your sales and not your workload. With OmniSend, you'll be launching pre-built e-commerce automation in no time, as well as intuitively segmenting customers based on their shopping behavior, and even trying out SMS or push notifications, all from the same platform. And the best part? OmniSend provides an immediate boost to your revenue while staying as easy as drag-and-drop email building, with automated emails averaging up to 40% of the total email revenue. So very compelling. Join Duke Cannon, Black Halo, and other high-growth Shopify brands that choose OmniSend to grow their e-commerce businesses on autopilot. Find out more about OmniSend and start free today. No credit card required. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, this is your first time listening. This is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. If you're an ambitious lifelong learner, which you probably are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. I think we're up to 205-ish episodes right now. There's an incredible amount of partners in the Shopify ecosystem, and these founders and a lot of the problems that these apps and marketing platforms, what they're doing to solve problems for Shopify brands. And you can get all the details and some great offers over at ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, I'm really excited for this guest today because they have a very, very unique piece of technology that everybody needs to learn about. And we all kind of use the other side of this technology to get code sometimes, but we're worried from a brand perspective. It's so interesting what this tool does. But my guest is Kathleen Booth, and she's the CMO, the Chief Marketing Officer of a company called Clean.io. Now, what they have is a private Shopify app, and it's called Clean Cart. And what it does is it helps retailers like you to build more profitable discounting strategies and really to protect the user's experience, the brand, and most importantly, the revenue by controlling the way coupon extensions, how they interact with your website. And so I know we've been taught, I agree with this, that we believe that these coupon extensions, think like Honey, for example, that they are there to drive incremental revenue. But the research shows, based on what I read off the website, and I'm learning more as I go here, that they reduce the average order value and the conversion rate, believe it or not, and all while claiming credit for sales that Honey had little or no part in driving. So it's a very interesting conversation. I'm really excited to unpack this a lot. So hi, Kathleen. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So I mentioned a little bit at the top of the show. Hopefully I didn't butcher it, but I just would like to understand on a high level about the Clean.io platform, what it does specifically, and the problems overall that it's solving for Shopify brands.
Absolutely. So at a very high level, we help brands improve the ROI of their discount strategies and ultimately make smarter marketing decisions by controlling third-party code that executes on their sites. And in this case, the third-party code is coupon extensions. You know, you mentioned Honey as an example. It's certainly the largest, but Capital One Shopping, Coupert, et cetera. I feel like there's more popping up every day.
Yeah.
And the problems that we really solve are things around what I like to call coupon leakage, when your coupon codes get picked up by one of these deal sites or extensions, and then they're shared with people who either didn't earn them or shouldn't have them. You know, it tracks back to things like overpayment of coupon affiliate fees, misattribution, all things that really strike at an e-commerce merchant's ability to make good marketing decisions that will result in profitable campaigns.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the founder's journey. I'm always fascinated why people build what they build. Like, I think it's a lot more than just, hey, I want to have a SaaS company and I want to have recurring revenue and just offer something of value to somebody in a kind of a B2B kind of environment. But I believe there's a lot more to the story than just recurring revenue and want to build something. I think I'd like to understand a little more about like what you believe uniquely, I guess, positions the founding team on a couple points. Number one, the desire to even want to build this thing. And number two, where did the expertise come to build this platform?
Absolutely. So it's kind of an interesting and I guess a somewhat non-traditional story, because Clean.io was born out of the advertising technology world. And our founders have a long history of building ad tech products. They got together because they saw a particular problem in the advertising technology world around something called malvertising, which as a user, probably many of us have experienced, which is malicious ads delivered through the programmatic ecosystem. So think about when you go to a website and you click on what you think is a legitimate ad, but instead a pop-up comes up and it's for a sweepstakes and you can't control the window or right. close it. Or, you know, there are so many ways it manifests, but it's terrible for user experience. It's terrible for publisher revenue and it really hurts their brands. And so the company at its heart was founded to give large online publishers back control over what was happening on their websites in order to, as you mentioned earlier, protect user experience, brand, and revenue. And today, our customers on that side of the business are some of the largest publishers in the world, from CBS Interactive to the Boston Globe, Barstool Sports, Meredith, Hearst, you name it. They're all using our technology to do this. And as I said, at the heart of it, it was about controlling third-party code that executes on the publisher site. And because of where a script sits on page, we were able to observe all kinds of third-party code, not just malvertising. And in the course of doing that, we noticed a large volume of what in very technical terms is called client-side injections, but in plain English really just means the code that website visitors bring with them to the website. And chief amongst that code was coupon extensions. And so that really caused us to go down this new path of looking at, gosh, what is the impact that coupon extensions have on websites? If it's detrimental, how can we help e-commerce retailers control it? Because, you know, we strongly believe, and I think this underpins everything we do, that it's your website. And these days, that's really where the majority of everyone's business is happening, particularly after 2 years of COVID. You own it, you should be able to control what happens on it. And so that's really what we're trying to do, is give some of the control back to the merchant.
I see. So how do these coupon extensions, like how do they get these codes? I've always wondered about that, because like I talk to a lot of brands, I have a book of business and a lot of them are concerned, exactly the reason why I have you on today, because they're concerned about, as you're saying, this coupon leakage that's happening and they're trying to figure out, well, what's a legitimate coupon from an influencer? And then they're sharing it through social and that's fine. They're offering a certain deal in a limited time for a certain offer. But I'm just curious on how these companies even get these codes and have them available to others when maybe they really shouldn't.
Yeah, this is, I think, a pretty maddening problem for a lot of retailers. Yes. We hear this question all the time.
Yep.
Here's how it happens. There are a couple of ways that they can get the codes. One is a user can just simply choose to submit them. I mean, there is this crowdsourced element to the platforms. But the other is that, and I'll change my hat for a moment and talk about how, as a user, if I install Honey or Capital One Shopping in my browser, when I do that, I'm agreeing to their terms of service. And buried in the terms of service is a little provision that allows them to scrape what I type in into the promo code fields of the websites I visit. So if I am a very loyal customer of a particular online retail store, and that store emails me a VIP customer code, or if I get a code for signing up for their newsletter, and I have one of these extensions in my browser, and then I go to that store and I type that code that I legitimately earned into that field at checkout, the extension is scraping it, putting it in their database, and then immediately sharing it with everyone else that uses the extension.
Wow. Is there any kind of privacy policies around this? I know you're saying it's terms of service. I'm thinking just GDPR. And is there any PII going on here? I'm just curious.
You know, it's unfortunately users that have these extensions, they are opting in to all of this. The word crowdsourcing is important here because it is the user agreeing, whether they know they're agreeing to it or not, it's the user agreeing to give this data to the extensions.
Oh, I see. So I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment here because I know in the past, I don't currently have it installed, but I believe my wife at one point has had Honey installed just because she likes the idea of saving money or at least kind of seeing what's out there. And I think the way Honey positions their product, I'm sure others that are doing this sort of thing, that it really helps drive net new business for the retailers, you know, based on the fact that, hey, I'm looking at this place, I'm adding something to the cart, and does it really push somebody over the edge that all of a sudden Honey goes through its process of refreshing the page a million times, kind of adding what coupon codes they think might be valid from that brand? But I'm just curious from your perspective, like, why would a brand want to block these sort of like features like Honey, for example?
Yeah, this is such an interesting conversation because, as you mentioned in the opening of this interview, we've all kind of been led to believe that coupon extensions are not just great for us as shoppers, which I think lots of shoppers feel that way, but that they're great for retailers too. And so, you know, Honey, Capital One Shopping, they all have partner programs where retailers can choose to work with them.
Right.
You know, in the goal of driving new business or improving conversion rates. And I think, you know, we really have to start to break this down because when you look at the way these extensions function, there's really two different ways that they can drive customers to your site. One is through their newsletters. You know, they send out newsletters with information on retailers that are having sales or have particular deals and that they can like push people to your site that way, in which case they're responsible as the original source for driving that visitor session. I might get a little nerdy here with
I love it.
Marketing attribution information.
All right.
But the other way that they do this is by people who have already come to your site, you know, and those people may have come through your Facebook ad or your own email campaign or an SMS campaign or what have you. They're organic search. There are plenty of ways visitors get to your site. And those visitors, once they arrive at your site, shop around, put things in their carts. And when they get to checkout, if they have these extensions, they pop up at that very last mile in the customer journey. And they'll ask, you know, do you want to see if you can get a discount? You know, and they might say something like, we have 10 codes that seem to have a likelihood of succeeding. And it's at that point that the shopper is able to click a button and say, yes, I'd like to try this. And the belief of a lot of merchants is that that helps with cart abandonment. It helps reduce abandonment. We set out to try to understand whether that was true. We do have code on page at, it's just under 100 different merchants right now who are on Shopify Plus. And during the initial stages of using our product, we do a 50-50 A-B test where we block coupon extensions from auto-injecting codes at checkout on 50% of the traffic, and we don't block it on the other 50%. And what we've learned, fascinatingly, is that in 9 out of 10 cases, conversion rates actually improve when you block coupon extensions, as does cart completion / abandonment is reduced. It's very counterintuitive, but we've got the data to back it up.
So what happens when Clean Cart runs and a brand decides, yes, we agree with your data? Doing an A-B test, every brand can prove it to themselves if in fact it improves conversion rate by blocking them. But what's the messaging that comes up on the screen? Because as a user of Honey, let's say, they expect it to work a certain way. And other brands have made the decision, like you said, through their partner program to use the tool, and that's just kind of what they want. But in your particular case, you have code that's actively running on the website, especially on Shopify Plus in the checkout flow, that checkout.liquid, that theme file. So I'm just curious on what kind of messaging comes up on the screen when Honey is apparently doing its thing, but meanwhile you have your code running in the background.
Yeah, it's really important to us to not interrupt the user experience. And I think because it's important to brands, that anything that creates a point of friction is going to, you know, really hurt in terms of the key e-commerce metrics. And so what we do is we prevent that auto-injection behavior. So we don't allow the extension to test the codes on your site. Now, we're able to do this because of how the extensions operate in a way that the user really doesn't know anything is happening. And the way we do that is if you are a Honey user, for example, and you go to a site and you have it test codes, you'll see it testing, and if it doesn't find a valid code, the default language that it will show in its pop-up is, congratulations, you already have the best deal. Yeah. And so we were able to develop the product in a way that essentially that is what happens in every case when somebody is using our product. So Honey will still pop up. It will still appear to be auto-injecting, but it will just tell them that they already have the best deal. And at the end of the day, if somebody has a legitimate coupon code, we don't prevent them from manually entering that code on the site. We think it's really important that retailers that do use and work with codes allow their users to put them in legitimately when they've been given them.
I see. Instead of just kind of this method of just cycling through. And that's good that there's messaging in there, even if it cycles through or comes up with messaging saying that, you know, there's no valid coupon codes at this time, but the site visitor may have one and they can manually put it in. So I think that's a really good user experience. I'm going to argue a bit too about this must be a cat and mouse game a little bit for you guys, because, you know, I could see these coupon extension companies wanting it to work, but knowing that you're trying to circumvent it for obvious merchant reasons, it lifts all the KPIs you just talked about. And so I could see it not working and then engineering getting involved. It must be a lot of back and forth.
You know, it's funny you say cat and mouse, because it definitely is. And I also like to think of it as like David versus Goliath, because these are huge companies. You know, Honey was purchased by PayPal for $4 billion with a B dollars. And Capital One Shopping used to be Wikibuy, and they all have extremely deep pockets, large teams. So yes, we went down this path knowing we would constantly be kind of fighting the battle to stay one step ahead of them. I think we've done a pretty good job of that so far, and we're able to really quickly identify when they change their code and respond really nimbly and roll out updates. And so generally the interruption, if there is one at all, is really, really short. And that's the goal. It's to just reduce the amount of time that there's any downtime in blocking.
Love it, love it, love it. So let's talk about Q4 right now. We're right in the middle of it. I mean, the holiday season's around the corner. There have been lots of conversations about, do I start early? What am I doing about supply chain? What's going on with all the carriers like FedEx and UPS and stuff? Like, how are things being shipped? And there's lots of like anxiety going on right now with brands trying to figure things out. There's going to be this inevitable rush, but is there anything that you see on your end? Like what are you recommending that Shopify brands do right now, knowing that the early rush is coming, you know, through into BFCM and for the rest of the holiday season?
Yeah, I mean, there's several things here, you know, some of which involve our product and some of which don't. I would say in terms of what doesn't involve our product, it starts with what I call practicing good coupon hygiene. And this is a term that I just started using because we were talking to a lot of retailers and really learning how so many of them didn't honestly know what coupons were out there. We would give them a list of all the codes we were blocking, and we'd hear things like, I didn't even know that code was created or still valid. And we also learned they were using multiple platforms to create their codes. They might have used Shopify, but also maybe Klaviyo or an SMS plugin or a coupon plugin. And so I think having a single source of truth for your codes is really important. And that could be as simple as a Google Sheet or an Excel spreadsheet where you just, you know, you list everything and the date it's going to expire and what it's being used for and the campaign it's associated with. So understanding just even what you have going is important. But then the second thing is something that I think all of us as marketers really need to be doing anyway, which is keeping a close eye on our data. And whatever that cadence is, and this would depend, of course, on the volume you're doing on your site. You know, if you have a very high volume site, you're going to want to look daily at coupon redemption data, because if something does leak and gets out of control, the harm that it can do would be large and would happen very quickly. If you are maybe a lower volume site, you could look at it weekly. That's really for you to determine, but I would say set a schedule and stick by it. And if you see the redemption volume of a certain code spike suddenly and you can't tie it back to a specific marketing activity, whether that's something you did, such as send out an email promotion or, you know, a post on social media, or maybe something an influencer or an affiliate that you're working with did, if you can't tie it back to one of those things, you probably have a coupon leakage problem. You know, and at that point, your next steps are really a range of, you could deprecate the code, but that comes with a host of problems and it could introduce real friction in your relationships with affiliates and influencers. You could appeal to these coupon sites to take your code down. We've heard merchants having very mixed results with that. Or that's when I think you could use also a product like ours, which is really meant to be set it and forget it. You put it in place. You don't have to worry about the leakage. But we also do give you data on the back end of what codes the extensions are attempting so that you have a sense for what has made it into their databases.
Oh, I see. This is really interesting stuff, you know, and it sounds like there needs to be some reporting because it, like you said, the Google Sheet is kind of one way of doing it, but I think there's also, I've got to think about this for the brands that I manage, and I might put this in the show notes. I'm thinking of there's a lot of third-party tools and stuff. Shopify has a lot of reporting built into the platform, but there's also some very interesting use cases where it's not available and you have to use a third-party tool to get access to all the data. And I'm thinking like Peel Insights maybe, or a few others that will have this ability. Peel Insights has a lot of things for Shopify brands from a reporting perspective, but I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's important to take ownership in the fact that there's potentially coupon codes out in the wild that shouldn't be there, that they're not being attributed to the correct thing. There's loss in conversion. There's loss in revenue. There's loss in gross margin. Like all of these negative things go against the fact that you're not, you know, taking care of your business correctly and having the right SOP, the standard operating procedure around coupons and coupon redemption, I think is key.
Absolutely. The only thing I would add is that when you can use limited or one-time use codes, there are plenty of tools out there that enable you to do that. And I think there are lots of use cases where that's very appropriate. For example, email marketing. But there are definitely times when that's not going to do the trick. A great example is a podcast sponsorship, if you wanted to give a code out or a display ad. And so where you're not able to use those limited or one-time use codes, that's where you really need to be careful and watch these things.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's pivot to a story. You know, I mean, we're all entrepreneurs and marketers, I think, at heart. They're listening to this podcast and, you know, we love stories. And I think it's the education and the inspiration around these stories that really help motivate a lot of us. And so hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but it'd be great if you could maybe share a journey of a Shopify brand. You said there's like 100 or so-ish that are, or at least on the plus side, that are implementing Clean at this point, but would love to understand more about what happened with them, like what was going on in their business kind of before Clean Cart was installed, and then the whole journey of using the software, and then what happened on the other end.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do work with a lot of e-commerce brands, and one that I really love is Caraway Home. I think a lot of people have heard of it. They've had a ton of success as a Shopify Plus user. And we worked really closely with Josh Notman, who's their Director of Growth and Digital Product. And we spoke to him about the journey that brought him to us and what happened since. And what he told us was that, you know, they have a lot of different campaigns running. They work with influencers. They do mailers where they send out coupon codes. There are a lot of different ways that they use them. And they were finding themselves in this hamster wheel where they would release a code either to an influencer or in one of their own marketing campaigns. And it felt like almost as soon as they released it, the coupon extensions would pick up on it. And the constant refrain that I hear from a lot of merchants, Josh included at Caraway, is the hours per week that they wind up spending chasing down, trying to figure out which extension has my code. How do I contact them and try to ask them to take it down? If they don't agree to take it down, how do I then go and deprecate that code and issue a new one? And what does that do to the customer experience if they were given that code, or the frustration it causes the influencer? And so there was just a ton of friction happening, a lot of wasted time, a lot of frustration, and a feeling of a lack of control on the part of Josh and other retailers like him. And so that led him to look for a solution. And one of the things that was really top of mind for him in finding a solution to the problem was not just saving time and making his life easier dealing with all of this, but it was preserving what he refers to as first purchase profitability, which I think is really just so smart of him to be focused on. It's looking at the very first time a customer comes to me and buys from me, how can I make sure that we're net positive in our profit margin on them? So he did start using Clean Cart. They put it in place. They did A/B testing when they first began during their 14-day free trial. And what they've seen since they started was in the first few months, they saw a 500% return on investment for their investment in Clean Cart. They saw a 5.6% increase in average order value by blocking coupon extensions. And during the A/B test, they were able to determine that blocking extensions resulted in a 0.13% increase in conversions and a 3% increase in cart completion rate. So it was pretty substantial. And we have another customer, Road ID, that saw similar results. And I apologize. I said 500. I think I said 500% ROI. They saw 1,500% ROI. Road ID saw 500% ROI increase. And for Road ID, the similar problem, they had a very robust affiliate program and they had stopped it because of this issue. And when they put CleanCard in place, they no longer had to worry about deprecating affiliate codes, and they were able to then go and grow their affiliate program and double it in just 3 months after starting to use CleanCart.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing stories. You know, it's interesting when I actually go to the website too, and I see some of the signature brand, the brand logos that are on the website. And it's interesting, like, you know, I think Super Coffee, Road ID is definitely there. Vessi Footwear here from Vancouver, phenomenal footwear company. Roan, which is massive. Caraway, you've mentioned already. Blendtec, Birdies. I mean, there's a list of some pretty signature brands that really see value in the tool that you've created. And I think that some of the takeaways for today is that, you know, some of these other bigger, badder brands that are out on the Shopify Plus world that are really scaling up have made the choice to use your software to help them in their gross margin kind of maintaining and conversion lift and all the benefits that come along with your tool. I know you have another part of your software too. That's another podcast for another day, but I'm going to put links to that in the show notes for sure. I would love to understand maybe a little bit more about maybe what the future looks like for the tool. Because obviously you mentioned the cat and mouse. We know that engineering is kind of on it. David and Goliath, however you want to phrase it. End of the day, you're doing some great things and you're helping brands. It's very clear with that story. But I'm interested in maybe 22 and beyond. Like, where do you see the product positioning itself? Is there any kind of innovation, or just end of the day, I just want to get warm and fuzzy, but how are you going to continue to offer this sort of value and assistance for Shopify?
Yeah, we have, I think, really exciting things coming down the road. In the short term, the biggest change is going to be better and more granular reporting. So you mentioned a lot of the merchants that are working with us, and very often they start to see the data come in and they're blown away by the impact that this has on, you know, average order value, conversion rates, et cetera. And a lot of times they start to dig in and look at it at the individual order level because they're so surprised. And so we're working really hard to be able to provide order level reporting so that they can even understand, hey, this customer came to our site. This was their journey. We blocked coupons, and this is exactly what happened for that specific customer. So giving our users better understanding over their own customer journeys, I think, is really important in the short term. And then another thing that we're kind of launching in beta right now, and you might be the first one to hear about it on this podcast, is a new module in the product called Affiliate Guard. And this is something that was born out of a problem one of our customers had. They were using our product to block coupon extensions. And we were successfully blocking Honey from auto-injecting codes. However, they were still getting really large monthly bills for affiliate fees from Honey through their affiliate platform partner. And this caused us to look a little bit more deeply into why that was happening and what exactly was going on. And what we discovered is that when brands work with affiliate platform partners, such as, I'll name a few examples, ShareASale, Impact, et cetera, when Honey is activated at checkout or Capital One Shopping, et cetera, the platform opens an invisible browser window in parallel with that user's checkout session and drops a perpetual first-party cookie that claims credit for that sale. Wow. And effectively overwrites original source attribution. And it does this whether the coupon extension is successful in finding a valid coupon or not. In doing so, it then also will charge the merchant an affiliate fee for that coupon extension if the user completes their purchase. So the example I would like to give is, you know, if somebody comes to your site through a Facebook ad and you've already paid to acquire them via what you're paying Facebook, they browse around your site, they get to checkout, Honey pops up and is not successful in applying a coupon, you're still going to be paying Honey a commission for that sale, even though it did literally nothing objectively to help with it. And so we have a new product that we, like I said, we have it out in beta right now. Certainly, if it's something listeners are interested in, they can chat with our sales team about getting in on the beta that will prevent that and will prevent the extensions from dropping that cookie when they haven't applied a valid coupon. And in doing so, it'll solve a couple of really key problems. Number one is attribution. You know, we really think it's important that retailers have the ability to understand accurately where their sales are coming from so that when they make marketing investment decisions, they're putting their money into the channels that are really working. But then it also solves the problem of reducing overpayment of invalid affiliate fees.
Yeah, I'd argue that that's almost like hijacking a bit and taking attribution and money and like billing the brand based on really doing almost next to nothing, as you said. Like, it just doesn't sit well with me. It's fine if they released a coupon code and people have used it, and so the merchant gets billed accordingly for some kind of attribution based on that. But if there's no coupon code and this perpetual cookie is stored,
yeah,
oh man,
it's crazy, because then they also claim credit for subsequent sales because the cookie is, it's a 30-year cookie.
Oh,
just crazy.
That is terrible. So let's talk about the pricing of the product. I'm curious on, I guess, the sweet spot for the type of merchant that you believe would fit nicely. I think obviously the Shopify Plus kind of brands fit nicely into there, but just overall, like, just get a sense of your perfect target audience from a merchant's perspective, and then what can a merchant expect pricing-wise by implementing your solution?
Absolutely. So we do make our pricing public on our website. That's something that I'm pretty passionate about. And right now, the Clean Cart app that I've described is available to any merchant using Shopify Plus. And the reason it's specific to Shopify Plus has to do with, as you pointed out, the need for us to be present in checkout. So really, any Shopify Plus brand can use the product, and the pricing currently starts at $249 a month, and it varies based on the volume of completed checkouts that you process through your site every month. So definitely head to our site to the pricing page to see more specifics on that. What I would add is that Affiliate Guard, that new product that I described, that is really now, through the beta, available to any Shopify user. You don't have to be a Plus user. And if you are a Plus user, you can add it on to your cart instance or purchase it separately. And we're actually still working out pricing for that one. That's how early this is.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you for telling us.
Yeah, but if you're interested, you know, reach out to us and we'd love to chat with you. And generally, beta users tend to get preferential pricing. So there's that.
Love it. Well, Kathleen, we are nearing the end of the show for today. I just, you know, appreciate you've just shared a lot. I mean, I've scrambled down. I'm on my second page of notes right now. Life of learning is my mantra, right? So just any insights or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, and you alluded to this earlier. I just think that we've all been taught to assume that coupon extensions are good for business. And I think it's time to begin to question that a little bit. The data that we've been able to collect shows far and away that retailers are giving away a lot of revenue, and it's all needlessly happening because of this assumption. And in reality, coupon extensions have very little impact on incremental revenue, and retailers stand to improve average order value by 4% or more just by blocking coupon extensions from executing. And doing that's not going to just improve profit margins. It also gives retailers a more accurate picture of what's really working and what's not when it comes to their marketing, which is so important, especially at a time like this when merchants are under tremendous pressure from supply chain issues, as you mentioned, and decreasing Facebook ads ROI. Now is the time to really do what you can to control what is within your control. And in this case, that means controlling how coupon extensions impact your business.
Love it. So how can people learn more about Clean Cart and kind of next steps if they choose to want to take the platform for a spin?
Sure thing. You can visit us at clean.io, although I would suggest that you actually visit us at clean.io/fastlane, because we are making a special deal available for your listeners, which is 20% off for the first 3 months of using the product. So you can go to either link. I think you're going to put the link for the deal in the show notes, and you can learn more, not just on our product page. We have FAQs, we have case studies of how different brands are using this and the results they're seeing. And then we have a lot of educational material in our learning center around exactly how coupon extensions get their codes, you know, what it means for attribution, how they're dropping cookies, a lot of the things I talked about here.
Beautiful. That's great. I will definitely put that in the show notes. I'll have either or ecommercefastlane.com/clean.io, and that will redirect you to this landing page. I'm just taking a look now. And so that's a great offer, 20% off for the first 3 months. I think the key here from what I'm learning is the fact that it can be A-B tested. Number one, it's very affordable. It's A-B tested to prove its value. And it's almost like every single month you have to show up and prove your value to the brand. And I would suspect that your churn rate is very low based on that, because you're incrementally making more money for brands. You're protecting these coupons from not being widely shared, which is, as you said already, it's improving the conversion rate. It's improving the gross margin and average order value. Like, all the main KPIs that are important for a brand are all being improved and proven through an A/B test. So I think that's phenomenal.
Yeah, I always tell people, expect to recover a lot more revenue than what you're spending on the product. And if you're not doing that, then we're doing something wrong.
Exactly. Well, you know, as you know, like, Shopify's mission really is to make commerce better for everyone. And it's very clear today. I'm so excited that we had you on the show today. I found out about Clean.io through one of the brands that I manage, and it proves that you're also in tight alignment. I know you want to help Shopify brands to, you know, improve their gross margin and stop the leakage of these coupon codes everywhere. And I just appreciate the technology that you guys have built, and just wanted to thank you for sharing your knowledge and your vision, and, you know, just giving back to the Shopify ecosystem.
Thank you so much, Steve.
All right. Have yourself a great day.
You too.
Today's episode of E-commerce Fastlane is brought to you by Omnisend. Now, Omnisend is an email and SMS marketing platform built for nimble Shopify merchants who want to increase their sales, not their workload. Full Shopify integration, pre-built automation workflows, intuitive segmentation, and best part, no code editing makes it easy to get up and running without diving into the nitty-gritty details, of course, unless you want to. Now, more than 70,000 e-commerce brands use Omnisend to grow their businesses on autopilot, converting their customers with quick-to-build, highly relevant emails and text. Find out more about Omnisend and start free today. No credit card required. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.